We've been talking over the last couple of days about some of the hachanas for Yom Kippur. But there are special hachanas specifically on Erev Yom Kippur. The idea of hachanas for Yom Kippur is the first topic in Mishnayis Yuma. Mishnayis Yuma, as you know, is organized chronologically. The first seven prakim Mishnayis Yuma take you through the Avodas Yom Kippurim, beginning with the Kohen's Hachanas that start a week before Yom Kippur. It runs all the way through Erev Yom Kippur, over the course of Yom Kippur, and then the last parak is the eighth parak of Yuma switches to the halachas of Yom Kippur, which are noe given bizman hazeh without a Beis HaMikdash. But it is certainly significant that the Masechta opens with the idea of Hachanas. And that's definitely, as we've seen, even bizman hazeh, very much on our mind. We spoke about Hachanas in terms of the Davin, Hachanas in terms of Tshuva, in terms of Mephias as Chavero. Then the Shulchan Aruch looks at various Hachanos over the course specifically over the course of Erev Yom Kippur. So one of them is the first one, then once you get to the section that's officially titled Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Tav Reish Dalet, Siman 604, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara and Yuma and Brachas and elsewhere that there is a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. We saw this drasha earlier this year. The Tanan were very bothered, but the language of the Psukim in Parshas Amar talks about all about Yom Kippur, and the 10th of the month of the 7th month, the 10th of Tishrei, is Yom Kippurim, V'nisem, and so on and so forth. And then at the very end, the last pasuk in that paragraph, the Torah throws us a curveball. By the way, it's on the 9th of the month. 9th of the month. Earlier in the same parsha, we said it's the 10th. Later in Parshas Pinchas, it's the 10th. But there's one pasuk that sort of like sticks out like a sore thumb, that is the 9th of the month. So earlier in the year, in the course of eating the Masechta, we saw that one approach that the Gemara has, the one approach that the Tanam have, is that the reference to Tosefa Shabbos, to Tosefa Yom Kippurim. You do fast on the 9th, not the entire 9th, but the end of the 9th. The end of the 9th leading into the 10th, and that's Tosefa Yom Kippur, that you start the fast earlier. But another approach that Tanam have is that it's actually a reference to all of the 9th, perhaps, or at least all of the day of the 9th, but it doesn't mean fast. It actually means the opposite. It means you should eat. It means you should eat on the 9th day. The Gemara says, a fellow eats the 9th day. So the obvious problem is, what do you mean? So then, if the Torah wants to say eat, I should have said eat. If I want to say light, I don't say dark. If I want to say dark, I don't say light, unless I'm speaking euphemistically in one direction or another. If I want to say purple, why would I say orange? If I want to say green, why would I say blue? If I want to say eat, I should say eat. I shouldn't say fast. That's very confusing. Someone might walk away with a misimpression that one is supposed to fast 2 days on the 9th and 10th. So, why did the Torah say fast if it meant eat? So, Chazal's comment, if a person fasts on the 9th day, Malel of Akasuv, the Torah consider it, excuse me, the person eats, I'm also getting confused, the person eats on the 9th day, so Malel of Akasuv, the Torah will consider as though he had fasted. And what does that mean? Torah will consider as though he had fasted. So Pashup Shab, it means Lefum Tzara Agra, in terms of the schar that a Jew gets for doing a mitzvah. So the Mishnah, one of the few Aramaic passages in Mishnah, so Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, tells us that, as the Rambam translates it in Hilchos Deis, Haschar Lefi Hatzar. The schar for mitzvahs is directly proportional to the effort, to the struggle. The more you struggle, the harder it is. Let's call a spade a spade. Sometimes it's painful. Okay, painful, do the right thing. Sometimes it can be very painful to do the mitzvah I'm supposed to do when I would rather not. It would be so much easier not to. It can sometimes be painful to practice self-control and not do that which I would much rather do. It would be more enjoyable to do the wrong thing. It would be more expedient to do the wrong thing. It would be more comfortable. It would be less embarrassing. It would be less painful. Sometimes it's really hard to fulfill Ritzon Hashem. The harder it is, the more schar I get. The harder it is, the more schar I get. So so usually to fast is hard. To eat is a lot easier, a lot more enjoyable. So typically, you would get more schar, we would assume, for fasting Yom Kippur than for eating Yom Tov Sudah. But here the Torah tells me, no. Ki'ilu achal, it's either ki'ilu hisana, that if you fulfill the easy mitzvah, the enjoyable mitzvah, the natural mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur, somehow you're going to get the amount of schar you would get as though you had a mitzvah to fast and you fasted. This is like a bonus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a simple understanding of what Chazal are driving at, that the Torah the Torah formulated the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur as a mitzvah to fast. That's the Pashup Shah. Certainly according to our Gears in the Gemara. Now the obvious question is why? Why do you have such a mitzvah? So Rashi says, the standard approach, Rashi says, on the Gemara, Maseches Yuma, and elsewhere, Rashi says, oh, it's a mitzvah to prepare for Yom Kippur. You're going to fast tomorrow. So the Torah gave you a mitzvah to make sure to eat on Erev Yom Kippur so that you'll be able to fast tomorrow. You have to make hachanas for the mitzvah of Inui. And the Rosh writes that it's really Mechaz de Hashem, because we would have eaten anyways. If we know we have a fast coming up tomorrow, 99 people out of 100, 999 people out of 1,000 would anyhow eat on Erev Yom Kippur, because you know, you're fasting tomorrow, you better eat today. So the Rosh writes, Mechaz de Hashem, that he took that which we would have done anyways and transmitted it, was mitzava us to do it, and now we're going to get schar for doing what we would have done anyways. So it sounds like sort of along the lines of this idea of Mala Allah Vakasu Vakilu Hisana, you get extra schar, as though it was a difficult mitzvah. The easy mitzvah of eating carries the schar of a difficult mitzvah like fasting, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole notion you get schar for this at all is already Mechaz de Hashem. That's already a bonus. You're looking at Bani Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a very, very fascinating... Do we talk about Rabbeinu Yonah? About the significance of eating Erev Yom Kippur? Fascinating. He has three approaches. He does... See, there's a Mordechai. Yesterday we take a look at Mordechai in the back of Chulin. You look at the Mordechai in the back of Yuma. The Mordechai begins, the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Rif, they all begin with the last parak of Yuma, because I mentioned before, the first seven prakim are not, unfortunately, halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. The first seven prakim are avodas yom kippur and beis hamikdash. So they're all the Rishonim who deal with halacha l'maisa open with the final parak. So the Mordechai, near the beginning, quotes a story of a simple Jewish tailor who had gone to market in Erev Yom Kippur and went to buy fish to bring home to eat for the Suda before Yom Kippur. So there apparently was one nice fish left in the market, and he walks into the store, walks to the fishmonger, he wants to buy the fish. Meanwhile, the local duke, count, what have you, had also sent, he didn't come himself, obviously, but he had sent one of his agents, one of his shluchim, to go buy fish for supper. And they both walk into the fishmonger, and there's one fish worth buying, and two people interested in buying it. And it sounds like there's some sort of bidding war that begins. Ultimately, the Jewish tailor walks out with a fish, having paid top dollar for this fish. He gets essentially arrested for that crime. He gets called into the presence of the aristocrat, and he said, "What? Chutzpah? Were you trying to some sort of it was almost treasonous? You're trying to show that you're more important than I am. You're trying to show me up. You're trying to show me who's boss. Who do you think you are? What type of chutzpah? Where's your derech eretz? The duke wants the fish. You let the duke have the fish." So the tailor says, "Your Highness, Your Excellency, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean any disrespect whatsoever. That was not at all, it was not at all my intent to try to outdo you or to overbid. It's just that, because the duke's like, on a random, a random Tuesday, why are you so intent in buying this fish? Obviously, it's because I wanted to buy the fish and you wanted to show me up." He says, "No, you understand, Your Excellency. At Yom Sichu Mechil, I didn't mean any disrespect. You said the day of Kaparas Avonos is upon us, so that's why I want to eat well. That's why I want to make a seuda. Yom Sichu Mechila. So what's the Mordechai driving at? And therefore what? or as you've been trained to ask yourselves, how does the answer answer the question? I'm asking you, why are you going to buy a fish on a random Tuesday? Why are you spending so much on a random Tuesday for fish? The answer is, well, I'm about to get kaparos avonos. And, therefore, what does that have to do with having a nice fish? So Rabbeinu Yonah has a couple of different approaches to this mitzvah of Achil Be'er Yom Kippur. He has three, and we'll talk about them out of order, but as we'll see, the second and third that we'll list, I think, relate back to this Mordechai. One approach that he has is along the lines of Rashi. It's a hachana for tomorrow, but he says it with a bit of a twist. Rashi says it's a mitzvah to prepare for tomorrow's fast. To be able to fast tomorrow, I need to eat today. It's hachana for the mitzvah of Tadus. Rabbeinu Yonah, if you read carefully, it sounds more or less like Rashi. If you read Rabbeinu Yonah carefully, Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, he writes, it's a mitzvah hachana, his version of hachana, it's a hachana for the tshuva and tefillah of tomorrow. In order to, I'm going to be fasting, my energy is going to be running low, and there's a lot to do. The opportunities tomorrow are mammoth. So the Torah gave me a mitzvah, make sure that you're fully juiced, fully prepared, that you're well stocked with food in advance, so that your energy reserves are not running low, and you can fully take advantage of the opportunity to do tshuva in Yom Kippur. You're not too wiped out to take advantage of the tshuva opportunity of Yom Kippur. Then he says, and that idea already is intriguing, but we'll come back to it. The fact that Rabbeinu Yonah is one who shifts even the simple idea of hachana from Tanis, hachana for the tshuva. Then he also gives two other approaches, both of which relate to the Mordechai in the sense that he says maybe it's not just a question of eat today so that you'll be in better shape tomorrow. It's a seuda. The other two approaches we have is that it's a mitzvah seuda. And he gives that in two versions. Either it's a mitzvah seudas yantif. Every yantif has a mitzvah simchas yantif. Normally it happens b'vayom. The Sudas Sukkos happens on Sukkos. Suda for Pesach happens on Pesach. We discussed earlier in the year about Tosefa Shabbos, Tosefa Zevit, having a kind of Yontif Suda, not Pesach. All the Yom Tovim during Tosefa, but if I can, it's because Yontif is already begun. But here, obviously, once I'm Moses, Mechol HaKodesh, if I start Yom Kippur early as I'm supposed to, so I'm fasting. So there's a mitzvah to have a Sudas Yontif. I can't have it on Yom Kippur, so I'm going to have a Sudas Yontif. Erev Yom Kippur. But that's a Sudas Yantav. Or he says the following. And this is the third approach of Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, maybe, it's like this. He says, if I've been grappling with that, if I've been grappling with my mistakes and my errors and the things that I'm not proud of that I did, If I'm experiencing honest charata, I really regret having done those things, it's going to weigh on me to a certain extent. Not to an unhealthy extent. Guilt run amok is very unhealthy. But certainly it should be on my mind in a balanced, healthy way. And if that's the case, so the fact that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that's so exciting. Yom Kippur is coming. Gevalt, Reb Hoysai, I'm about to get all these averes that have been weighing on me, I'm about to be able to just throw them off. Because Yom Kippur is coming, I'm going to be clean. Be free and clear. That is so exciting. That is so exciting. Mashal Mahadavar Doma. If anyone does not give this mashal, let me share a mashal. It's a little old school. I don't know if shuls do this anymore. But back, in the mid-1900s, 1950s, 1960s shul, I think it was a thing, to have a mortgage-burning party. What's a mortgage-burning party? A group of Jews get together, and they begin a minyan in someone's basement, and then Baruch Hashem it grows, and it's time to buy a building. Where do you have the money to buy a building from? So it's not necessarily the case that people can put up all the cash up front to buy the property or to do the work that needs to be done. So you put up some money, and you take out a mortgage. You borrow money from the bank, and you're making monthly payments. And those monthly payments are a significant, and certainly decades ago took a very significant toll, financial toll, on the membership of the shul. That was a significant burden, which they took on, Baruch Hashem, in order to have a makom tefillah. but it was something worth paying, but it was definitely, you know, it was a stress. And then after 20, 30 years, we've made the last payment. The mortgage is over. Our debts are all paid off, and the bank returns the papers to the borrowers, in this case to the members of the shul. So it was, at one point in the United States, it was a common thing. I don't know if they wait till the next dinner, or like bo vayom, they would have a mortgage burning ceremony. They have a fire, and toss in the mortgage, and that was an incredible simcha, because that represented halachically and poetically that we're done with having to make these payments. And that's going to ease things a lot on the members of the shul. So that was a very natural simcha. We had this all on our heads. We had this weight, and now we're done with it. Gvaldik. That's cause for celebration. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, if I actually feel, if I genuinely regret some of the things that I've done, so the opportunity to get rid of it, that's a mortgage burning party. So it says that's Yom Kippur. You're not going to have a suda on Yom Kippur. We really should be having a party on Yom Kippur. Gevalt. We're mamash lefnei Hashem titaru. We're coming clean of our avarice. That's unbelievable. Can't have a suda on Yom Kippur because we happen to be fasting. So we have the suda in advance. The other Rabbeinu Yonah has three approaches. Either it's a hachana for the tshuva, interesting twist on Rashi's hachana for the tainas, or it's a suda, suda's yamtiv, or a suda celebrating kaparas avonos. And by the way, as I mentioned before, so either those latter two approaches might be what the Mordechai was driving at as well. It's a yom slicha mechila, and therefore that's why I'm making a suda because it's a yamtiv, or specifically because yom slicha mechila, the day of kaparas avonos, I'm celebrating the kaparas avonos. Now you might wonder, one second, celebrating the kaparas avonos, So then maybe it should be afterwards. Why is before? You're getting a little ahead of yourself there, counting your chickens before they hatch. When Yom Kippur is over, come home. And that taka, it does say in Shulchan Aruch. It does say in Shulchan Aruch there's a minig that many have to have a suda motzo Yom Kippur as well, reflecting this idea. But that's mitam minhag. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur, that's me ikar hadin. Potentially even, if you understand it to be a drasha gemura, potentially even a din daraisa. Here, the last siman in Yom Kippurim. Tav Reish Chaf Dalet, the Rambam quotes, Ochlim u'smeichim motzo Yom Kippurim, dehavi ketzas Yom Tov. Mishnah Berurah tells you it's based on a medrash. But still, the primary suit is before. Why? So lechar for the following reason. The way Rabbeinu Yonah presents this, why is this in Shai Tshuva? Shai Tshuva is Rabbeinu Yonah's handbook to how to do tshuva. So why is this there? So the truth is, I mentioned before, I was saying them out of order, because the last reason that we gave is, I believe, the first reason that Rabbeinu Yonah lists. Because he, the ones he mentions, it says, by the way, there are other reasons also for doing that. The first one he gets to is the notion of celebrating the Kaparas Avonos, because he's trying to explain the notion of charata. He says, what we were talking about, right? If you genuinely feel bad, so then it's going to, if genuine regret, there'll be genuine, authentic simcha at the release from this chet. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that there is a beautiful and somewhat enigmatic pasuk that we're very familiar with, that we come back to again and again over the course of Yom Kippur. Ki biyom hazeh. Chaper lechem tayretzchem, kochat asechem, lefnei Hashem titaru. Now, those last three words, lefnei Hashem titaru. How do you translate that? You will be pure before God? You should be pure before God? Is that a statement of fact? It's a havtacha? Or it's a tzivui? Is it instructions to us? So some understand it's a havtacha, it's a reality. Lefnei Hashem titaru. As the Gemara describes, Yom Kippur is mechaper, the Mishnah say, in the last parak Yom. There's a special power of kapara that the time that these 24, 25 hours are endowed with. Yom Kippur is mechaper for avonos. It has to be in conjunction with tshuva, so on and so forth. But there's something special about the kirvas elokim, the rubbing shoulders, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's cleansing. That cleanses your neshama. That's a reality. That's one approach. The Hashem Taru is just a metzias. Or it's a tzivoy. If it's a tzivoy, you need to mitar yourself. In what sense? So Rav Zadie Gaon says it means going to mikvah. That's why going to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur is even more significant than Erev Rosh Hashanah or other Arve Yom Tovim. Rav Zadie, we don't say a bracha, but we don't follow Rav Zadie Gaon all the way. But there's certainly particular significance to going to the mikvah Erev Yom Kippur, both as part of the hachana for tshuva and this approach to taru in the literal sense. We don't have parah aduma, but at least we can retire ourselves from other tumas by going to kasher mikvah. But then the other approach to lifnei Hashem titaru as a tzivui, what's a tzivui? Do what? Not like Rav Zadie Gaon go to mikvah and become tar in the sense of tar from tuma. Rabbeinu Yonah says it means tar from chet. Rabbeinu Yonah understands that the Rambam counts one mitzvah of tshuva all year long. Rambam says it's particular significance, particular poignancy during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but it's fundamentally the same mitzvah of tshuva all year long. V'his vadu. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. He says it's a separate mitzvah. There may be a mitzvah of tshuva all year long, but there's a separate independent mitzvah of tshuva b'yom HaKippur. That's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur. Lefnei Hashem titaru. If a tzivui, be metai yourself from your chatoim on Yom Kippur. Take advantage of the opportunity for kapar the Yom Kippur has. It's not just a reality that's going to happen. I have a mitzvah to make it happen. The separate mitzvah of tshuva b'Yom Kippur. So this Rabbeinu Yonah, two of these three approaches may be l'shitasa. Number one, the notion that I need to make a hachana for the tshuva in particular is consistent. As opposed to Rashi who said it's a hachana for the ftainas. Hachana for the tshuva, yeah, I understand that well. I understand that well because he says it's the added mitzvah of tshuvas Yom Kippur requires hachana. And normally when we think about tshuva, we think about charata, feeling bad about the past. So on what level of activity does that occur? What organ do you use for charata? Usually we think, well, the brain, the heart, it's internal. It's how I feel, it's how I think, it's my attitude. I feel bad. I'm thinking about my chatoim, I'm analyzing what did I do and why did I do it and how can, and why it was wrong and how tomorrow can be different. Charata, Kabbalah, Asid, those are the hirhur, the machshava, the hergish. So we know that the Rambam says, not only that, it has to be v'dibur also, right? That we spoke about. For the Rambam, the mitzvah of tshuva is to be when I'm doing tshuva, she misvad lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To take the internal thoughts and feelings of tshuva, they're going to be expressed in action in the sense of I'm going to hopefully act differently tomorrow. But to take those thoughts and feelings of tshuva and verbalize them. Articulate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only b'machshava, and the hergish is also b'dibur. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying, for tshuva all year long, that's enough. Machshava, and hergish, and then dibur, and then hopefully you'll act differently in the future. But the process of tshuva itself is mental, emotional, and verbal. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, that might be true for tshuva all year long. But apparently Rabbeinu Yonah, what I think what he's trying to say, is, oh, but for tshuva on Yom Kippur, you need to have charata. It's not enough to have charata b'machshava and a charata b'dibur. You have to have a charata b'alidei maisa. How do you have a maisa charata? How do you actively express your regret? I mean, hopefully tomorrow I'll do things differently. But how do I actively express my regret right now? So the answer is in an incredibly positive way. That's exactly what Yonah is saying. If you really feel so bad about the chet, that the upcoming release of it is cause for celebration. That's a maisa, it's part of the tshuva process. It's not just sort of like a natural after effect. It's actually part of how I express my tshuva in a kinesthetic, in an active way, alidei maisa. So that's probably why, I would imagine, it's not enough to have a suda after Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful thing. And if you talk to felt the Yom Kippur, so we understand well the meaningful minhag to come back to Yom Kippur and eat a suda. Not just to have a bowl of Cheerios. Again, it depends who's running. When you'll be running your kitchen, so you can ensure you'll help to make the suda. If you're not right now running your own kitchen, so you're not making decisions. But it's not a chiyuv to have a suda matzah Yom Kippur, but certainly a meaningful minhag. But it's more than just a reflection. It's actually a could be for, you know, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Tshuva Yom Kippur. So of course, after Yom Kippur is too late. I need a ma'isa charata going into Yom Kippur. It would be great if we could do it on Yom Kippur. But that's not an option. That's not an option. So I may have to do it erev Yom Kippur. Yeah, the next siman tafresh is about kaparis. I think I mentioned yesterday. The way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch is a machlok is whether or not it's mutter to shlug kaparis. Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber thinks it's and this machlok is not just 500 years old. Mechaber Amah is over 1,000 years old. The Mordechai in Yuma, Rosh Hashanah, I forget, but the Mordechai quotes the machlokas haGaonim well over 1,000 years ago. Some were pro kaparis and some were anti kaparis. Some were pro kaparis. It's an expression of presumably it's a a means of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for kaparis avonos, and some were anti kaparis. I believe for two reasons. So one concern is, well, actually there are three reasons. Some people might mistake it for a carbon, and that would be a very, very severe problem of you're being makdish the chicken as a carbon, and then you're feeding it, eating yourself, or feeding taniyim. That's a me'ila of the worst sort. That's a terrible aveira with which to enter Yom Kippur. Some of the contemporaries, some of the achronim, talk about the concern of shlugging kaparas with chickens. What would often happen is you would have the whole town basically line up early erev Yom Kippur morning, and you have these exhausted shochet who's shechting chicken after chicken after chicken with very little sleep, and it's a perfect storm. It's a nevela waiting to happen. We're learning Maseches Chulin this year, so it's that's the poskim right. You should try not to do them all at the same time. Make sure the shochet is well rested. Try space them out of the course of Aseres Metshuva, and that way you won't chalila be coming into Yom Kippur, having been machal nevelos to other Jews. And then, the core issue that the Gaonim and Rishonim raise is, this sounds superstitious. Sounds like Darkei Amori. Sounds like some other religion. This doesn't sound so Jewish. Well, you take a chicken and you swing it around your head. So the Rav Tzvi Mechaber says, Yeshlam no haminik, you should avoid it. Should avoid it. And the Ramah says, but suddenly Yesh min ha'gom shekasim nekza. Other Gaonim did record this minig, and many of the chen kasvo so rabim and acharonim. Many of the acharonim. Now, how is Ramah calling acharonim? Ramah lived in the 1500s. He was before the acharonim. How is he calling the acharonim? Navi. That's the answer. The answer is, Tanoim also use the terms Rishonim acharonim. Obviously, Rishonim acharonim is always relative. Acharonim is the last couple of generations, and Rishonim are the people beforehand. So we use Achronim to mean people who are post-Ramah. But obviously Ramah used Achronim to mean the Rishonim, or people we would call Rishonim, or at least the later Rishonim. So the Ramah is an advocate of this minig. So Lamaisa, there are three different approaches, I think, Bizman Azeh. One approach is Mamash to shlug kaparis with chickens, and then to after to shech them and give them to people who could use, impoverished people who could use the food. And you have a mitzvah of tzedakah thereby. And the other extreme is the approach of not shlugging kaparis at all, no kaparis whatsoever, like the Mechaber. And in the middle is the approach of kaparis with money. Kaparis with money, obviously you're avoiding any problem of inappropriate shechita, and you're avoiding any problem of thinking that it's a carbon, you'd be makdish as a carbon. No one thinks that the money in the handkerchief is a carbon oaf. And it may also take the edge off of the concern about Darkei Amori. That's possible as well. So I have to figure out what your family's practice is in terms of kaparis type A, kaparis type B, or no kaparis whatsoever. If one has a practice of not giving kaparis whatsoever, but then you should still, the essence of the kaparis, in terms of the giving tzedakah taniyim, that's something one should definitely do. The Gemara says in general, igrisa de tanesa tzidkasa, that often the major schar of a tainis is the fact that you give tzedakah, you give more tzedakah on a tainis. Either you pledge tzedakah on tainis, or you actually give more tzedakah on a tainis. That's why the minig of saying yizkar, I think, historically began with only Yom Kippur. Later on, it was adopted for other days, closing days of Yom Tov as well. But it began originally with Yom Kippur. We're going to get to Mitzvah Bili Neder, not today, But after Yantif, Mitzvah, in the first pack of Chulin, is a fascinating sugya of when one should or should not take Nedarim. Are Nedarim a good thing or a bad thing? So the post can point out, one of the times when we encourage Nedarim is Nidrei Tzedakah, is particularly Be'ez Tzara. A person pledges Tzedakah, and particularly when it's a moment of crisis, you learn from Yaakov Avinu that that's appropriate. So Nidrei Tzedakah on a Tinus in general is a good idea, and particularly Yom Kippur. We see Yom Kippur as in a certain sense, an Ace Tzara. Actually, think about what we said in the Bracha of Zichronos, what we said in Nosana Tokif, that what's going to happen over the course of the year hangs in the balance. As someone, I don't know who it is, who the last couple of years has put out a Nosana Tokif video every year. Very meaningful, very moving. Going through the words of Nosana Tokif, which sometimes seem a little remote. Skila, Chanika, Rav, Tzama. You see and hear the words, and on the screen he has video clips of events from the past year that correspond directly to all the positive and negative categories they mention in Sana Tokif. So this is real. So Yom Kippur is a very important day to daven. If we are Beinonim, then that's the Yom HaDin for us. So it makes sense to be noder to give tzedakah in advance Yom Kippur. And that's why they make the Kol Nidrei appeal and the Yisker appeal. That's a very, very ancient minhag to have tzedakah on Yom Kippur. So even if one is not going to perform kapara, one's practice is to not perform kaparas, neither with the chickens, nor with the money. So you don't have to wave the money over your head, but you should be writing at the. It's very appropriate at the Yontif Suda, at the Suda's Erev Yom Kippur, to bring a checkbook and to write significant checks to tzedakah, whatever is appropriate for one's budget.